This is Kel Wepperson, book author and team owner of Paranormal Investigations of Oklahoma. You are now listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
The Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I have Melanie Vincent. She's a paranormal investigator, researcher, and also a witch. I'll be right back with my conversation with Melanie Vincent right after these brief messages.
This is Weird on the Rocks, a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. Join me every other Monday as I share a different cocktail and discuss true crime, paranormal stories, unexplained phenomena, conspiracy theories, and much more. Find Weird on the Rocks on social media, the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com, and listen on all of your favorite podcast apps. And don't forget to cheers and stay weird.
I've had many, many paranormal researchers, historians, investigators on my show the past 5 years. I've only had a couple from my home state of Ohio, but I'm super excited that Melanie is actually from my hometown of Warren, Ohio. Plus, we both grew up in haunted houses. Like I said in the pre-show credits, Melanie is a paranormal researcher, an investigator, and also a witch. She is the founding member of Researchers Investigating the Paranormal Team out of Warren, and also it is known as RIP. I met Melanie at our local library in Warren at a seminar titled Ghosts in the Attic. I dropped by to see what the program was all about. When it was Melanie's turn to speak, I was impressed with the paranormal equipment that she had brought with her, and also she demonstrated how each piece of that equipment worked. I can't wait to pick Melanie's brain, so let's get right to it. Welcome to the show, Melanie Vincent.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, when I went to the show at the library, I really didn't know what to expect because, you know, Ghost in the Attic, I'm thinking, wow, okay, that caught my attention. I said, well, it's got to be on paranormal, so I stopped by, and I was really impressed with the presentation you put on.
Thank you.
How many years have you been investigating?
To actually investigate, I actually got started around 2006. That was hanging out at Hotel Conneaut with a friend of mine at the time. Me and her would go up there in the off season and just hang out in the empty hotel.
Okay.
And oh my goodness, the things that we've experienced from motion sensors lighting up one at a time and going off in our direction and then turning around and going off in the opposite direction away from us, to just the feelings. And I've had air conditioners turning on in the middle of winter when, you know, they were shut off because winter was the off season at the time for the hotel. So that's where I started and then officially put together a team in 2013. So if you look me up on Facebook, it'll be Researchers Investigating the Paranormal 2013, because that's when we were officially started.
Yeah. And I will put all your links at the bottom of this episode. I mean, really, what led you in the first place to get, you know, your interest into the paranormal?
Growing up here in Warren, Warren is a very active area. Knowing this because of the Underground Railroad come through here, They followed up through the Mahoning River. So, I mean, there was a lot of people that had come through here in this area at that back in that time. So, yeah, we have a lot of activity all around this area. I particularly lived on the west side growing up and, or not the west side, the north end, and had just all kinds of crazy things happening to me over there.
When you found out that your house in Warren was haunted, did you share this information with anyone else in your family or friends?
Oh, yeah. My mother was the first one. I mean, I had the first experience that I can really say that I had was a cold winter evening. I was sitting there in the living room with my mother watching the Country Music Awards. And the window was right behind me, and I felt like somebody was staring at me. I turn around and I see somebody staring back at me. And I turned and I told my mother, and my mother, in her normal thing, always told us how crazy we were because we've seen ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
And then she went outside and said, if you want to watch the Country Music Awards that bad, come on in. Which, by the way, the knowledge that I have today is the worst thing you can do. Don't do that.
Right.
Do not invite it in your house. If it doesn't have access already, do not invite it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say that many, many times to people, you know, especially, you know, you don't know what you're dealing with.
You can go to a historic building and go there and have activity and think that you are talking with a child and then feel bad for the child and say, well, you can come home with me. That is the wrong thing to do because you don't know that you are actually talking to a child.
Exactly. Mm.
So don't actually do that. I mean, really, don't do that.
How many times do you think in your lifetime that you've been labeled crazy, you know, out there?
As a ghost hunter or as a witch? Because it's both ways.
Yeah, no, I love asking that question, all my guests, you know, because, you know.
It doesn't scare me. I mean, and I'm all about educating people.
You know, during your seminar, you said that you are a witch. Explain mm-hmm. how did you come about that?
About 30 plus years ago, I was given a deck of tarot cards. And with that, I went to go look for a book to read these cards. And I found The Complete Book of Witchcraft by Ray Buckland. And I was drawn to it. So I purchased that book and it opened my eyes to a lot of things. It was what was right for me.
Uh-huh.
And for me, witchcraft is about embracing nature. It's not about the evil old hag that's hanging out trying to curse everybody, because that's not how it works.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I was to try to curse somebody wrongfully, it would come back on me because I believe in karma.
Most definitely.
So I don't give credit to one all good deity or one all bad deity, because in my world, they have to balance. And you have karma that will keep you in check, not the threat of hell or Satan.
Now, would you consider yourself a medium?
I don't have any official training as far as a psychic or a medium. I do feel things, I do sense things, and I do hear things. So take it that way.
Okay.
I'm not going to give myself an official title that I haven't gotten any background in, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. In your paranormal group, you know, the researchers investigating the paranormal.
Yes.
How many are on your team?
Presently, there are 7, but I have a big connection to a lot of other paranormal investigators. And if I need more, then I can call on people and swap out people if needed. Or I can trim it down to as low as 2 people going to an investigation. But I can have a big group if I needed to.
Now, does each member have their own special skills that they do?
For the main core of my group, it is family. It's my daughter, uh-huh. my husband, you know, that kind of thing. And then we have our close-knit family friends. But yeah, everybody, I have like Debbie, she does monitoring. And she'll sit there and watch the monitors all night. And if she sees something, then she can radio whoever's closest to wherever she sees it to go check it out. My daughter, she would be my lead investigator because she's been doing this with me the longest. And she would take her buddy, Tara, and they would go and do their thing and communicate in their way. I mean, there's no, as long as you're not being rude or causing problems, investigate. Because the core of what I've taught everybody is you have to have respect.
Right.
Respect for the entity, respect for the area, respect for the property. And thus, we haven't had no major issues with paranormal problems kind of thing.
Right. I was going to ask you, you know, at your seminar, you brought a lot of equipment with you that you used during your investigations. Which piece of equipment do you like to use the most?
My mail meter.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
The mail meter gives you the temperature, the EMF, and then it also has a REM pod feature to it. So it's like a multi-tool in one.
That sounds a lot like when I was went on investigation about 20 years ago. A friend of mine, he invented his own meter. So it'd be like a REM pod type ghost box, you know, spirit box. It was like it was like 3 things in one, and he put a patent on it, and then the person at the patent office stole his patent, you know, so he was going through the lawsuits of that, you know, but
yeah.
That was a very interesting piece of equipment, you know, back in that time.
It also, I guess, would depend on the location, because I do love the history of these places. It intrigues me to hear the histories. And if you find out that you have like a child that passed in that particular location, I have what I call Giggles, which is my motion censored puppy. And he'll roll around and he'll giggle and carry on. He seems to be the best piece of equipment for those kind of locations, because the child entity will just love him. And I've had him going off many times in a room where it was dark, so there was no contamination to cause him to go off.
So you take trigger items with you?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I like the part where you said, you know, the history plays a vital role.
Yes.
And because, you know, knowing the building or the person you're trying to investigate, you know, plays a huge part of that investigation.
That could help to open up communication.
Has anybody on your team been hurt during an investigation?
No. We've had one time we did a blind ghost box session up at Hinsdale House. And my investigator that we had blindfolded with listening to the headphones with the ghost box, we were in the living room. He was sitting in the kitchen and we were asking questions. He was answering in there, listening to what he got on the ghost box. By the time we were done with that session, he had to get up, go outside. He threw up a little bit because he wasn't feeling quite well. That is probably the closest to any harm. I mean, and I was at Middle Point School on the other side of Ohio, and I had gotten grabbed pretty harsh, jumped up, and I said a few pretty words. And then I contained myself and sat back down because I wasn't letting it get the best of me. But I really wasn't harmed. I was more surprised that it grabbed me.
Yeah, I always said, you know, paranormal investigating is like fishing. You know, sometimes you get a bunch of fish, you know, and sometimes mm-hmm. you get nothing. You know, do you find that, you know, sometimes a spirit will go to one member of your team more than another?
Sometimes. I've had times where I brought in like a psychic, and they'll run from the psychic but go and hang out with my daughter. I mean, I've had that happen a few times. I've also been like up at Hotel Conneaut, where there's one particular that if I don't go up there and say hello to that room, anywhere I go in that hotel, my stuff will get messed with. I used to smoke cigarettes, and I'd have my pack of cigarettes sitting there, turn around, walk away, come back, they wouldn't be there. I'd have to go hunting for them and find them like 3 foot over where I wouldn't have put them.
So you haven't really come across anything demonic then?
If I have, it hasn't shown itself to me. I've come across some bad entities. I wouldn't give them credit to be demonic because it's just a bad attitude with them, you know? But as far as demonic, no. And I can also tell you that I do have friends that are demonologists, and they will tell you coming across an actual demon is extremely rare. They have more important things to do than to be hanging out looking for trying to possess people.
Yeah, you had mentioned that you've been pushed. You know, I did a documentary in 1998 on Ghost in the Valley, hence my podcast. I was in Hermitage, Pennsylvania at the Hogback Bridge, and I was pushed actually on that bridge after my team had went up the hill. So I actually got nothing at all during segment of the documentary. But it was once everybody left that shit started happening, so to speak. You know, I was pushed from behind, and my ears were flicked. And I heard a growling. You know, and there was nothing in that gully under that bridge except me. You know, so that's why I say sometimes you get certain things. You know, if you're expecting something and you don't get it, you know, and it comes at you at the least expected moment.
Oh, that happens. I mean, it does happen.
It's been very active. They rebuilt the bridge, but I still hear there's activity there.
Well, usually when there is remodeling or something of that going on around, that usually increases the activity.
I'll be right back with the rest of my conversation with Melanie Vincent right after these brief messages.
Are you looking for a new book to read? Check out my newest book, An Awakening, by Wendy M. Cope, last name spelled K-O-K. Basically, it's a story of good versus evil, and these things slowly start taking over the residents of this small northern town in Nielsville, Wisconsin, and I would love it if you would read it. My books are available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Book Baby Bookshop, everywhere really, and you can find me at WendyMCopeAuthor.com.
Have you ever considered writing a book about your experiences and your haunting adventures?
I have a little bit, yeah. I've got some of it just jotted down here and there. I haven't sat there and seriously wrote in a book. I should, though.
Because how many investigations would you say you've been on over the past almost over 10 years?
Oh, so many. I couldn't even tell you. I know I've done hundreds.
Right. And like you said, you know, Warren is active, you know.
Yes.
You know, in downtown Warren, some of these old historic churches, especially the one there on, across from the log cabin.
Yeah.
Preacher in that church would tell me all the stories from that area, from the Underground Railroad and everything, and tunnels that lead down to the river.
Yeah.
Actually, even from the City Hall.
Yeah.
A seminar, you said you were trying to get into the City Hall, and it's been a no-go.
Right. It's been definitely a dead end. Hey, I love the mayor. He's fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to blame him, but I do think that, you know, it is such an active place, you know, and what I've heard from even past administrators from the City Hall, what goes on in that building.
Well, I know the history, and I was a board member with the Warren Heritage Center, and we worked out of the Kinsman House. And so being that I spent so much time there in the Kinsman House and learning the history there, the City Hall was a Perkins mansion, which was related to the Kinsman House. You know, the family was related, the Perkins family.
Mm-hmm.
And just horror stories in that family.
Yeah, that family is just interesting anyway.
Yes.
In the history of Warren.
Right. And it's kind of trickled out throughout Warren because, I mean, when I grew up on Federal Street over there, that place was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of active places around Warren.
Went down to the City Hall trying to get some answers, you know, because I can't get history of that house because the house I grew up in burned down. So where are the records for this house? And I'm trying to get, nobody seems to have the records. So I'm going to the library to research the history of the owners of the home.
Yeah, I was going to say, go through the auditor's list. Start there.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, the gentleman from the City Hall had told me that area is built on Indian burial grounds.
That's interesting.
He said very active.
There was Native Americans. As a matter of fact, the Pioneer Cemetery, it used to be, what is that now? The Akron Children's Hospital behind there on Mahoning.
Uh-huh.
The first person buried there was a little girl who was scalped.
I heard that.
I believe she was 12.
Uh-huh.
And she was scalped because she crossed onto Native American land, or so they thought. And so they killed her. And she was buried right there. So, yeah, there was Native Americans all around over here.
And I heard that there's activity from that in that cemetery. I don't know. I haven't been there.
I haven't investigated that cemetery. I just have a personal thing about doing cemeteries because I don't see entities hanging out at the cemetery. I really don't. I see, because I think of it this way. I pass on. I'm not going to stay where I was buried. I got too much family and friends to go irritate. So no, there's no way I'm going to sit there. I mean, if it comes my birthday or a holiday, I may go back because I expect them to come and see me. But other than that, I couldn't see hanging out in a cemetery. I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't activity in cemeteries because I have come across it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something that I would go out of my way to do.
I've been told a few locations, but I've also been asked not to give the location, you know, which is kind of hard to do.
Right.
But, you know, some of the stories I get is phenomenal. But I have been to the Erie Cemetery in Erie, Pennsylvania, where they have the vampire crypt. That was very interesting. I suggest you go there sometime. Check that out. I mean,
I'm going to help you. That's going to be a road trip for me and my husband.
You know, the vampire crypt where there's no markings whatsoever on that crypt. And you can tell, you can spot it when you're looking for it in that cemetery. It's a huge, huge cemetery.
I'm interested in the history it was called a vampire.
If you look it up on YouTube or Google it, it's a lot of interesting stories all that spot.
Okay. Because a good friend of mine, Dr. George,
mm-hmm.
he did a lecture on vampirism, and he explained that that's an actual medical problem, not being able to be out in the sun or craving blood.
Mm-hmm.
It was an actual medical problem, not the living dead. But on the flip side of that, I do know people that do practice that as a belief.
Well, it's the people that went to the actual crypt to try to you know, desecrate the crypt or do things.
Yeah, that's awful.
Breaking into it that they actually had injuries to themselves, you know, from.
Yeah.
And I knew just by touch. I don't, the day my wife and I went there, it was like 90 degrees out. And just when I went and touched the crypt, it was like a cold, cold. It's hard to explain. Like an old ice cold breeze that went straight through me.
I'm going to have to go and check that out.
And it's got like triple layers of iron gates in front of it. You can't get in it, you know, but it is, you can spot it halfway across the cemetery because it just looks like something out of Transylvania.
That sounds right up my alley.
It was interesting, you know.
Okay. All right. And also over at West Branch, behind the lake there, there's also a spot known as the Witch's Grave.
I haven't been there yet, but I heard about that.
It's pretty neat. Well, it was supposed to be the Witch's Grave because there was a girl that was accused of being a witch and was chased through the woods back there. And they stoned her to death and buried her where she lay. And then they have this little cemetery with big blocks all the way around it, and it's completely enclosed with little headstones and whatnots.
What would you say your favorite investigation you've been on?
Middle Point School. That was the most active in Middle Point, Ohio.
Okay.
And that's on the other side of Ohio. And that's where I was grabbed. And I mean, just so much happened there. I have a audio of that. And under 5 minutes, my friend Heather, that was sitting out in the auditorium with me, she just announces that her batteries had died. I'm not giving you word for word what we said because you'll have to bleep it all. But right after she said that, I had commented that mine were fine. And that's when I got grabbed and I jumped up and said a few more bleeping words. I contained myself and I sat back down. Meanwhile, this thing had run up to the stage, triggered giggles, come up on Tammy, who is also a former police officer, caught her off guard. She's reaching for her gun because she doesn't know what hit her. They come around and run back up and smack Heather in the head. And then that night, we went up on the second floor and we had our beds all put together because we all had to carry air mattresses and whatnot to spend the night. And throughout the night, we heard like dragging going on through the hallway of the school there. And then a clomp, clomp, clomp. It was an amazing night. We also had I have a laser grid. I didn't bring it with me because I had my brother readjusting it. He hooked it up to a bat or a AC pack so I can plug it in so it doesn't run out of batteries. Because if you know how those pen light laser grids are, a half hour, your battery's dead.
Uh-huh.
So I had a laser grid set up. And I swear to you, it looked like it was moving back and forth and nobody was near it. And it was like scanning us. It was crazy.
Now, do you charge, like when you go on residential investigations, you charge for that?
No, I don't. No, I don't charge because I know that if somebody has got activity, I know they're scared. And I would prefer to help over worrying about being paid.
Uh-huh.
Because I know a lot of times you have children involved, that kind of stuff. And if you don't know what's going on, it can scare the hell out of you.
Would you prefer residential over commercial or does it matter?
I like both. I do. I like both.
Is there any certain place that you haven't been to yet that you, it's on your bucket list that you'd like to investigate?
Oh, there's a few. Myrtle Plantation is on my bucket list. And then I want to swing over west and hit Alcatraz and Winchester Mansion, the Stanley, those kind of, the Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
Different places.
Have you been to the Mansfield Reformatory?
I did a dayside investigation through there, which was really interesting because we got to go up into areas where general public doesn't go.
Uh-huh.
So we did have our quiet areas kind of stuff. And that was interesting. That was real, real interesting. We found that down in the hole was probably the most active.
And you know, I was really impressed during your seminar because you brought not all of your equipment, but you brought quite a bit of the cameras that you put up and throughout the house, you know. I was really impressed with that. And you monitor what's going on.
Yes.
That was impressive. Because, you know, when you're talking about spirits and ghosts, you know, it's energy, you know. And you're talking about batteries going dead, and that sucks a lot of battery juice.
Mm-hmm.
My batteries are fully charged, and they're dead on the location.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that sucked that power out of my batteries.
Yeah, well, just like it did to Heather, and she was going on about she had it fully charged and just in moments it was sucked dry. And then I got grabbed right after that. I mean, it sucked up that energy and then I got grabbed and then I raced up to the stage. which was a good 30, 40 feet away from me.
You had mentioned the Conneaut Hotel. Do they do tours there? Or
I haven't been up there since me and my former friend parted. That was her baby. So I was like, okay, well, then you keep it. You do your thing there when we went our separate ways.
Mm-hmm. You have anything coming up in 2023 that's planned?
As far as ghost hunts?
Yeah.
Not so much yet, because I'm actually putting together a business with doing psychic day spas. So I've been focused on that. But my daughter and another one of my investigators are looking at different places to be checking out, hoping that they're going to stand, you know, help me out here and get the locations lined up.
Is there any spots that the listeners can go to get a hold of you?
If you're on Facebook, get a hold of me on Facebook. I'm also in LinkedIn and Twitter. And yeah, I use Messenger a lot. To me, that is just like my go-to.
And I will put all your links at the bottom of this episode. And I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
I want to thank Melanie Vincent for being on the show today. She is the founder of Researchers Investigating the Paranormal, also known as RIP. I am your host, Al Cooley, host of Ghost in the Valley, and I will see you next week with another great episode.